Let's go out and feel everything. If you hold me, I will let you into my dreams. For time is a river rolling into nowhere. We must live while we can, and we drink our cup of laughter.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are going to go in depth today with two of my favorite guests. We're very grateful to have on the phone Helen Strike. She is the president of Regina Hospital in Hastings and the River Falls Hospital. We are also joined by Dr. Melody McKenzie. She's the Regina Hospital Director of Medical Affairs, and also she's Alina Hastings' lead primary care physician. So we are thrilled that you are calling in today, and I hope that things are going well in your world.
You know, like I think all of us are starting to ask questions about what does this Delta variant mean? What does the future look like near and far for how we work and just try to ensure that our care for our patients with COVID and our own home lives are somewhat stable. I think we're all beginning to say, wow, when will this ever end? You know, at the hospital, we have never ended our utilization of personal protective equipment. Whenever you come into the hospital for whatever, you need to mask, and we do continue to wear masks at staff all through meetings and things like that. So stuff like that hasn't changed. But what has changed is we're starting to see more COVID patients back in the hospital. We have just about 100 patients in the hospital across Alina Health. And in the state, we're hovering around 600 hospitalized patients around the state of Minnesota, with about 155 of those in intensive care units. And as we are hearing from the Commissioner of Health and others, about over 90% of those, and maybe more, maybe it's 95% of those, are unvaccinated folks who are hospitalized. So it's a little disconcerting when I'm just looking at the daily update. Yesterday, we had nearly 2,000 newly reported cases and 6 more deaths from COVID. We were down to, under a couple of hundred cases earlier this year, and May, June-ish, and 0 deaths were being reported by day. So we definitely have things to be concerned about. What we have to be happy about is we are seeing more vaccinations occur.
Helen, what do you think is the reason that the number has ticked up? Is it the Delta variant? Is it that we've relaxed our precautions personally? Is it a combination? Is it the number of unvaccinated people that perhaps, is that how it's spreading, or what's going on, please?
Wow, I think you just named the trifecta.
Oh.
of vaccines, of precautions. We've got a little less vigilant, and the Delta variant is far more contagious than any of the other variants we've seen so far.
Dr. Melody, do you want to speak to this Delta variant, please?
You know, it's interesting. Last time we spoke, which I feel like is a lifetime ago, I think you and I were talking about how optimistic we were about everyone
yes.
getting vaccinated and things going back to normal. And at the very end, you kind of asked about the Delta variant, and we didn't know a lot about it then. So we were cautiously optimistic that, you know, we were going to kind of vaccinate our way out of this. But what we do know about the Delta variant, now that it's been some time, this one is definitely more contagious. So it makes sense that when you have a virus, the one that's the most contagious is the one that we're going to see more. And the problem with it is people are getting more sick with the Delta variant, in that it's not just the elderly or the people that are at risk. So before, we talked about people who had risk factors being the most at risk, and that's still the case. But what we're seeing with the Delta variant is that younger people are getting sick with it, and even some children are getting sick, whereas we didn't see that with some of the initial variants. So this variant we're seeing, especially in the South where there's more COVID, we're seeing that there are the children's hospitals, their ICUs are full of children who have COVID and are very sick. We know that here in Minnesota, Children's Hospital and Gillette are seeing more children getting admitted with COVID, whereas that wasn't the case prior to the Delta variant. And we're also seeing younger people getting hospitalized that are really sick. So before it was mainly our nursing home patients and our elderly patients, and now we're seeing younger people that are healthy that have no risk factors, mostly unvaccinated, but they're getting very sick and getting admitted. So we know that viruses change, and this Delta variant is one that has changed. And so this is what happens with viruses. So it's unfortunate, and we can just hope that we can get enough people vaccinated and before the next variant, whatever one it may be, comes around.
And how do these variants develop?
Yeah, so every virus changes a little bit all the time. So it's never perfectly replicated. And it makes sense, if you think about it, that the one that's going to spread the most is the one that changes to be the worst version. So if the virus in your body changes and some of the ones that change a little bit aren't as contagious or don't get people as sick or don't stay around in the air as long for whatever reason, they're less likely to infect other people and then to replicate and then to go on. And the ones that are, if you think of it as farming, the sturdy stock, the sturdiest stock when the virus changes are the ones that are going to change and be able to replicate and move around. And that's what happens with the virus. The ones that are the best at terms of spreading are the ones that are going to be around more and spread more to get to more people. So I think when we look at the Delta variant, it's more than, 50% contagious than the original one. So the original one, I think they said it would, maybe get 2.5 people sick. This one is going to, if you get it, you're going to infect 3 or 4 people. And those people can get sicker than the original variant.
I know some people have had what's called breakthrough cases that they are vaccinated, but they still have had a case of COVID. What do you say to them? And then what do you also say to people that maybe will say, see, that's why I didn't even get the vaccine because it doesn't work?
Right. And that's a great question. And way back when, again, when we were talking about vaccines, we were saying any vaccine that even if we could get one that's 75 to 80%, so it offers 75 to 80% of people 100% protection, that would be a great vaccine. These ones are in the order of 90% plus in terms of protecting people, but that still means that it's not 100%. So vaccines are rarely ever 100% effective, and herd immunity comes in when we talk about that, because herd immunity is what helps protect those who don't get immune from the immunity from the vaccine. So if we're around a whole bunch of other people who are also vaccinated and we're the one that's not 100% protected when we don't know it, the other people around us who are vaccinated help protect that person, or would protect me if I'm unvaxxed, if I can't get a good immune response. And the people that are most at risk from getting really sick are also the ones that are most at risk at maybe not getting the same immune response. So if our immunity isn't great because we've had a transplant, or we just have some immune deficiency that we don't know about, so our immune system doesn't work as well as someone else's, or for our medications for rheumatoid arthritis or asthma, our immune system isn't 100%, or even in pregnancy, our immune system isn't 100%. So even if we're vaccinated, we're less likely to get a great response, but we're also more at risk if we do get sick. So it's a double-edged sword, and that's where we have to rely on everyone around us, and that's where herd immunity is so important. Like Helen was saying, 90%, whichever number you want to grab, of people being hospitalized or unvaccinated. And that's showing us how well the vaccine is working, because all of these people who are vaccinated are doing the same things as everyone else, but much, much less of them are getting sick.
Helen, what are you seeing as far as vaccinations? Are we still able to get vaccinations easily?
Yes, getting a vaccine is actually easier than it probably ever was. And if you do happen to go to the fair today, you can get a vaccine there. I had a friend come through the airport. There's also vaccine stations at the airport for folks to get their first vaccine. So that is kind of exciting stuff to think we're being pretty innovative about where vaccines are. But Melody, do you want to talk about Hastings and vaccine availability in our clinic?
I always tell people I don't care where they get the vaccine, and I don't care which vaccine for the most part. It doesn't matter where you get it, who gives it to you. The most important thing is that you get one, and that's always been our message. Some of the Allina clinics throughout Allina are giving Moderna. Here in Hastings, we're giving Pfizer. That's just the one we have, and we do have a schedule. We also do try and do walk-ins, so if patients walk in between 8 and 4 Monday to Friday, we do try and vaccinate them. Sometimes we have to have them come back in a little bit, but we do try and work them in. Most of the pharmacies in town are also more than happy to help you and get a vaccine. There's also the vaccine finder in the Department of Health, but I would just encourage anyone, it doesn't matter where you get one, just get one. We know boosters are going to be the hot topic, and the line is working on that right now. How are we going to help booster? Right now, we're only doing the highest risk patients, so those who've had a transplant, who have an unknown immune deficiency, so we know their immune system doesn't work properly, or if they're on certain medications that suppress their immune system. We are vaccinating those people with a third dose of Moderna or Pfizer right now. The new recommendation that we all get a booster, I'm telling everyone, yes, wait, we're all anxious. I know most of our staff at our clinic keep asking, when can I get my booster? Because we're seeing some breakthrough cases, but we're also seeing people getting really sick, and we don't want to get sick. So that's coming soon, too. So we don't have that yet, because I know people are probably listening and wondering, but we are doing third doses for those high-risk groups that I mentioned. And so if people think they need a third one sooner than the rest of the population, they should contact their provider, because the booster can be given 28 days after their last Pfizer or Moderna if they're in that very specific high-risk group.
There still is information out there about masking, and I think there's some misinformation about masks don't work. What can either of you say about that? And I know the numbers have been ticking up as far as number of cases. And where would you stand with masks if you are out and about?
Well, I'm masking. I know the new recommendation from the Center for Disease Control is if you're in an area above a certain level percentage-wise of positivities, that you should mask indoors, even outdoors in an area where there's lots of people. So if you think of a gathering where there's a lot of people, the state fair is a great example. Right now, I think there's only one county in Minnesota that qualifies as not recommending indoor masking at all times and outdoor masking in areas where there's large amounts of people. I think back to when we started COVID and we all had the handmade masks that patients brought to us, and then we now wear surgical masks, but that's what we were using unless a patient had COVID symptoms. That's what we were using to see patients, and we still use a medical grade mask. We don't wear N94s to see our regular patients. And that has helped protect us. We see very, very, very few breakthrough cases throughout Allina, and the majority are providers or staff who are not following the guidelines in terms of masking and being careful with PPE. We do still, if we are around someone that we know has COVID, we do put on either an N95 or I call it our Darth Vader mask. But by and large, we have safely seen all of our patients with a medical-grade surgical mask on and nothing more than that. We don't wear N95s for seeing all of our patients. And I've been in rooms with patients who turn out to have COVID, and that does protect us. We know they do work. They're not perfect. They will not guarantee you, but they're definitely better than not wearing a mask.
So just to clarify, though, the other person should be wearing a mask to protect you. Is that correct?
Right. So the mask does two things. It helps protect us a little bit. The other thing it does is when we're breathing out, it really stops all of those particles from going as far. So if we think about singing and yelling, everything that comes out of our mouth goes very far. Or if we're whispering or talking really quietly, it doesn't go out as far. The mask helps do that. It keeps the droplets from going as far. It keeps them from being around in the space as much. There is a benefit to wearing one yourself, but it's not as much as how much the mask I wear protects you. But it does do some benefit for both of us.
And what would you say about double masking?
Well, ideally that does help. So the kind that you see when people walk into the clinic, or the ones that are offered when you walk into the grocery store, the disposable one underneath a cloth mask is actually more beneficial than just wearing a cloth mask.
And where does all this misinformation come about masks limit the amount of oxygen that people have, and so therefore they're not at 100%?
Yeah.
I mean, how can we clear all that up?
So I always remind my patients when they ask about masks that, you know, there's neurosurgeons that do cases on patients or other surgeons that do cases 8-10 hours straight. And I don't know how they do it. They take these short breaks and they are masked the entire time. Their brains do not suffer. They are still neurosurgeons. They're still able to go about and do amazing work. We know that if you are in a very humid area, which is what a mask gives you, it gives you that humidity. We always know that breathing feels more difficult. And so, yes, people feel like it is more difficult. But they've done studies where they've measured people's CO2 and they've measured their oxygen. And even if they have lung disease, they may feel like it's more difficult to breathe, but they do not lose any oxygen. They do not build up any CO2. And the same thing with vaccinating. People say that, you know, I might feel bad for a day, and I'm like, yes, but COVID's worse.
So is this just the way it's going to be for a while?
You know, I think, Mo, we're all trying to figure out how do we live with this,
right?
The ups and downs, the ins and outs. And I think we're all believing that many of the things we're doing are going to have to continue for some time until we see a place where we've got consistent longer-term reduction in cases. Deaths and cases, we are stuck with what we have, and we need to be proactive versus reactive to the variations that we're seeing with COVID.
So as kids are heading back to school, and do you feel that they are going to be spreaders, and have guidelines changed as far as quarantining and all of that stuff, please?
So it is different from district to district and state to state. We, as physicians and those of us in the medical profession, we're hoping and sometimes writing recommendations and asking that ideally it would be the best interest of all of our children to stay in school. We know that we want them to do well in school. They need to socialize. We need to keep them there because they do better both mentally and physically. But in order to do that, we really need to look at reality. And reality is if we have those children masked, we are more likely to be able to keep these kids in school. And I know some parents have very strong opinions about masking and that they don't believe it's the right thing to do or they believe it's harmful. I really don't see how we're going to be able to keep kids in school and get them to learn and do what they need to do unless we have them masking. And that's my opinion. And I think that's where the medical literature suggests that we need to do. I ask everyone to really just keep focused on what's the most important thing. And the most important thing is, first of all, keeping people alive and keeping them healthy. And secondly, we have to keep the kids in school if we can.
Wonderful advice from both of you. Thank you so much. Helen Strike, she is the president of the Regina Hospital in Hastings and also the River Falls Hospital. And we thank also Dr. Melody McKenzie, Regina Hospital Director of Medical Affairs, and also Alina Hastings, lead primary care physician. Thank you to both of you. Stay safe, and we really appreciate your insights. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.